and welcome to CardiCast, a glam podcast brought to you by New Cardigan. Our June Cardi Party speaker was news librarian and archivist Mel Begg. Mel is co-organiser at Melbourne Horror Film Society and joined us on International Archives Day to share her love of horror film archives. Mel described her industry placement at the Hugh M. Hefner Moving Image Archive at the University of Southern California and showed some short films from the archive.
I'm Nick McGrath. I'm a Cardi Corps. We call ourselves Cardi Corps. Claire Presser, Justine Hannah, Hugh Rundle, and another of our Cardi Corps who lives in Perth, Andrew Kelly, is obviously not here tonight, but he does a lot of work behind the scenes. I'd just like to welcome you. It's our second birthday. Yes. And the other thing I get really excited about, because I'm an archivist, is it's International Archives Day. That's what I like to hear. Okay, there's a few things I want to say. Mel and I went to uni together. Mel Begg is actually wonderful. She's actually going to talk about horror film archives tonight, and I'm extremely excited. And I'm actually really excited that we're doing this on International Archives Day. So this is a good thing. Where, you know, there's a few friendly faces in the audience. There's probably a few people that have never been to a Cardi party. Okay, so hands up who has never been to a Cardi party. Wow. So did you come tonight because of the horror films? Yes? Or because you're also, you work in glam as well? No? You work at State Library? Okay. Yes. So are you going to come to the next Cardi party? So the next Cardi party, yes. I like you already. So the next Cardi party is going to be at Immigration Museum. It's going to be a Saturday afternoon, and we're going to talk about racism in Australia. So please be there and book in fast, because we book out fast, as you can see. Like, we book out. It's the second Saturday of July, which is, I cannot tell you, but we will be sent. So are you guys all like signed up on our mailing list? So we'll be sending that out very soon, like information about that. So cool. Okay, so there's something else I wanted to say. Has everyone heard about Glam Blog Club? Yes? Anyone into blogging? Yeah. Sort of? Yes? You want to blog, Terry? Okay. So I want to see more archivists. I want to see more people blogging, but I want to see if there's any archivist. Okay, who's an archivist in the room? Okay, what the hell? Where did that? What? I'm not doing my job. Okay, I'm going to stop talking in a second. No, keep going. I'm just going to take over and start talking. No. But I want to see more people blogging, because we've every month we've got really exciting, you know, topics that we're talking about, and just seeing people blogging is exciting in Melbourne, you know, sharing information. So please go on our website and check out what we're doing. We've got lots of stuff going on. I'd just like to introduce Mel. So Mel and I, as I said before, went to uni together. We studied information management at RMIT. And there's some people in the room that we studied with, so lovely, familiar faces. And Mel has a passion for film, horror, and archives, which is just why you're all here tonight, obviously. So this is the craziest, how fast we, you know, booked out for tonight was crazy. It was the fastest that we've ever booked out for an event. So that, no pressure, Mel, no pressure, but it just shows how much what your passion, people have the same passion as you do, which is what I want to say. So I don't know what else to say, but we love you and good luck.
Thank you. Not feeling any pressure at all. Thank you so much for everyone for coming. Happy International Archives Day. And thanks to Loop as well for decking the room out so well and in theme. It's pretty crazy. Please tell me if I'm being too loud into the microphone, because I do have a really loud voice. So, cool. That's the first time I've probably heard that, so that's good. I just wanted to make tonight quite informal, so unfortunately it sort of hasn't turned out that way, but please do interrupt if you have any questions or anything. There was a lot that I was going to talk about, but I've actually decided that I want to make it more about the films that I'm showing, so I'm going to show two, and then show one that's actually, they've only found the sound from it, so archivists in the room will get, you know, sort of how difficult that is, and there's sort of, it nearly makes me cry, the vision of it. So I hope that you enjoy it, and I'll just do a little short spiel at the start, and then we'll do the films, and then there'll be plenty of time for discussion and questions and whatnot. So thanks for coming. Okay, yeah, So I just wanted to start with my professional path. I started being a flight attendant when I was 19. A year into flying, I decided that I wanted to go back to uni and focus on things that I was passionate about. So I did my undergrad and my honours in film and media, and then went on to do the information management course at RMIT that I know a fair few people have done as well. Then I went on to work at the ABC. These are my really nerdy work photos, which I have a tendency to do, which is a bit embarrassing, but I was like, yeah, okay, I'll just embrace it. So I was in the collections team at the ABC. And if you know, the ABC has just moved from Rip and Lee to Southbank. So I sort of went on there and I was a videotape librarian, and then my role just went with whatever they needed at the time. So it was a lot of records management, going through boxes and throwing out as much stuff as possible so that they could make the move as easy as possible. Our team started being made redundant, which was really unfortunate. They don't have a film person in Melbourne anymore, and that's all quite sad. But once that started happening, I got word that Channel 9 were looking for people for their news library team. So yeah, I'm now at Channel 9 in the news as a news librarian, and also working at ACME. So at ACME, I'm in the do cinemas. So I know a lot of people don't really know about the cinemas at ACME, or that's sort of how it seems to be. But there's two cinemas at ACME. They show a lot of repertory films, and it's quite cheap. And get along to ACME if you can. And also, I was the operations coordinator of Monsterfest last year and this year. I just thought I'd tell you a little bit about the news library at Channel 9. So we have three actually qualified librarians, and then they sort of use it as a training ground for reporters and things coming through. So we do a lot of training for reporters, and so every time that the news goes to air, we're getting all of the vision for every story, and sometimes there's only like a 30-second turnaround time, and it's pretty stressful, and we're in the newsroom, and it's really fun. And then we catalogue everything that goes to air that day so that it can be found. So I know there's a few people here that have been to Melbourne Horror Film Society screenings. In start of last year, I came on board with the Melbourne Horror Film Society. We run screenings the last Tuesday of every month. These are two of the guys that I run it with. That was on our X-Files screening over Halloween last year. We've got David Scully, and it was all fun. Yeah, it's really great. So, they're run in North Carlton. So, if you haven't heard about that, just check out the Melbourne Horror Film Society. In 2014, I had the opportunity to go over and work in the Hugh Hefner Moving Image Archive. It's not working at Playboy, as much as that's what my dad and I kept telling my mum. And she was like, no, shut up. We're like, yeah, mum, yeah, it's a Playboy mansion. And but no, Hugh Hefner just, he donated a lot of money to it. So yeah, it's Hugh M. Hefner Moving Image Archive. It's at the University of Southern California. I did that as part of my studies for the Master of Information Management. Being a flight attendant, I was able to go over there for free, and I sort of tied that in with my long service leave, so that worked out perfectly. When I was researching where I wanted to do it, I found out that they had a lot of famous horror directors that had gone through there, and then I contacted Dino Everett, who's in charge of the archive, and also found out that not only was he a punk rocker, so that was awesome, that ticks that box as well, music, awesome, and he was also putting together a feature-length film of the student films by the famous horror directors, and so I was like, oh my God, this is my place. So I contacted him, and I was like, oh, is there any chance? And he was like, yeah, come over, and so, that was really amazing. So I spent a month over there, and it was really fantastic. Got to work hands-on with film. So got to work on Dark Crystal, for one. Yeah, so that's the one over on the left. Yeah, it's really amazing, the condition that a lot of the films were still in. In the middle, flatbed. This is just doing repair, like learning how to do repairs and things. And then I went back in April last year to get the copies of the films that I'm going to show tonight. And this one down the bottom here is... it's a film, they'd received a donation from sort of middle America, and we think that that was from sort of turn of the century, like between 1900 and 1910, judging on just the outfits and things. And we spent a week, like I'd done the repairs that you can see there, and then we spent a week zooming, scrolling, because they digitized it, trying to figure out what this little name was on top of this shop to try to find out where the hell this was from and get any information from it. So it was quite unbelievable. While I was there, we couldn't figure it out. We kept like looking at it, and you know when you get like a word in your head, it's like, it's it's that word. No, I know it's not that word. It's that word. And you just keep thinking it's the same thing. But yeah, but it's pretty amazing. So yeah, so while I was researching and then found out that Dino was putting together this film of the student films, so he was putting together this film, and he, when he took over the archive, he was like, I want to find films by John Carpenter. He'd heard about Captain Voyeur, and he found, within a year, he found Captain Voyeur. And then he found a box with just O'Bannon. So Dan O'Bannon, who's a famous horror director as well. But he couldn't find anything else, any other films that he was looking into. He couldn't find them. Anyway, this book came out by Jason Zinnemann like a year later. And he read it and he was like, hang on a second, this guy has seen these films. How has this guy seen these films? So he contacted Jason, and Jason said, yeah, I got them from Dan O'Bannon's wife. So I got him in contact with Diane O'Bannon, and she's like, yeah, I've got them all at home. So in these boxes. Yeah, that's they were just in her shed, and she's like, yeah, that's fine. But yeah, so she had all of the copies of all of these films that he'd been like scouring for 3 years, and she was like, yeah, that's fine, you can have them. So he was going through them and watching them and just could not believe how much that, and it's what it speaks about in the book as well, how much what they made at those years at USC went on to inform and influence not only their own films, but other directors' films as well. Yeah, it's quite unbelievable. I've got a trailer of the feature length film that I'll just play here.
Do you ever get scared? Do you ever get the creeps? Maybe you have the creeps right now. Are you afraid of monsters? Of haunted houses? Of the dark?
Once I came on board with the Melbourne Horror Film Society, I had the idea of screening the short films and sort of making a program. So we had three screenings. The first screening was Voyeur Night. It was on the 31st of May last year. We screened Good Morning Dan, which was made in 1968, written and directed by Dan O'Bannon, and Carpenter did the camera work on there. And then we showed Captain Voyeur, which I'm going to show later, which was written and directed by John Carpenter, and then we paired that with feature film Body Double by Brian De Palma. So yeah, which that's from. And that night was just, it was a really crazy success. Like, we had to, like, bit like tonight, we had to squeeze people in, and yeah, everyone sort of really got behind it, which was Melbourne Horror Film Society sort of hadn't seen those numbers or that response to any of the screenings. So I don't know, it just made me realise, or I thought that screening things from the archive would be really special, but yeah, it really sort of hit home with people, which was really good. The second screening was in July last year, so we did Back to the USC Archives for Christmas in July. The highly acclaimed Judson's Release, made in 1971, which was this is from it, those scenes in the trailer of the girl, it's pretty much When a Stranger Calls. So it's the girl trying to run out of the house and the killer's inside with her. It went on to, so that was made in 1971, which came before Halloween, Black Christmas, all of these films, and it's unbelievable how much it's exactly the same, if not better than some of the, yeah, than When a Stranger Calls anyway. And we paired that, though the first 20 minutes of that is really good, but Judson's Release is the first 20 minutes of it, it's crazy. And we paired that with Black Christmas. And then the third screening was Dead Night, so we showed Bloodbath, which I'm going to show later, which is made in 1961 by Dan O'Bannon. The Demon, which written and directed by Charles Adair, and it was credited as the first of countless Night of the Living Dead remakes. And we paired that with The Return of the Living Dead, directed by Dan O'Bannon, 1985. Okay, so the films that I'm going to show tonight, the first one, so John Carpenter, as I'm sure I know so many people are into horror here, so I'm sure most of you know, but he went on to make Halloween, The Thing, Escape from New York, Big Trouble in Little China, countless others. He's like a master of horror. Captain Voyeur, this was chosen for preservation by the US National Film Preservation Foundation. It's the only one of these films that has been preserved properly, so... Yeah, it's goes for 7 minutes. It's unbelievable how much the same things that pop up in Halloween he's already got the idea for. It's quite unbelievable. Lady Madonna is the one. It's his thesis film. This was one that Dino was really desperate to include in the film, but yeah, they still are unable to find the vision from it, and unfortunately, John Carpenter doesn't really want his student films out there. So, which kind of sucks, but. And then Dan O'Bannon's Bloodbath. So in 1969, Dan O'Bannon made this. John Carpenter was actually walking past one of the screenings and he heard everyone in raucous laughter inside, and he was like, I want to work with this guy. And John Carpenter is very good at working with the right people and taking things that they do well and making them his own. So yeah, this was something that he looked at and he's like, yeah, well, I want to do that. And which Dan O'Bannon has sort of... He made, like, he's the writer of Alien. He wrote Total Recall, made Return of the Living Dead, but he has worked on a lot of projects and has sort of gone a bit unsung. So that's why that sort of turned into Dino's focus of sort of getting his work out there, because he was very amazing. So I hope you enjoy the films. the wraparound's kept in. It's from like a 1960s training video or something. It's really random, but it fits perfectly with the film.
Enter the door to darkness. Thank you.
No.
Father Semple, who was here during the end of the last century, devoted 40 years of his life to carving this entire stairwell out of one sequoia tree. Originally, great to Father Semple's disappointment, it was employed as a fire escape. However, in recent years it has been abandoned for this purpose, due primarily to the fact that it is unfit for human habitation. Originally, when I first came to St. Mark's, long ago it was, I recall clearly, It was the first time that I saw the cherry blossoms come into bloom through the window of the rectory. And perhaps
this portion of the building is seldom used anymore, except for the story of the plots in heretical manuscripts, primarily those dealing on the topic of...
one on as well, but I think that just shows how much an archivist put together this feature-length film, because anyone else would have been like, no, I can't get the vision, so I'll count that out. But I think it's sort of, as disappointing as it is, it kind of works perfectly. Nearly makes me cry.
Doesn't pour it up there,
yeah.
Otherwise the ants will come and eat your eyeballs.
Oh, good. Place is shithole in here. Oh, shit. What time is it? Oh, God. I don't want to get out of bed. I feel a little strung out, man. Screw it. I'm going back to sleep. Oh, God. Oh. Oh, man. Oh, I'm gonna have to get out of bed. Oh, Christ. All right. Oh. Cigarette. Crying, walk him off her camel, man. Just light it up. Good, man.
I don't know. I always felt that, you know, if you get up in the morning, you just have a cup of coffee. Because, you know, otherwise, you just stick a funnel in your nose and pour it up there, because otherwise the ants will come and eat your eyeballs. I don't know.
Good. Place is shithole, man. I just ought to leave it, let the cockroaches take over. Back! Filthy, man. Burn it behind me. Can't stand it. Horrible. Just pound my own off. Oh! Fuck. Well. What the hell? My face looks like an armpit. My mouth tastes like inside a locker room. I got mouth washing. Oh, shit, sock. How'd that get in there? Whew. God, wow. Cleans out the sinuses, man. Oh, God, look at that hair. Crap. God, I haven't shaved in 2 weeks. I better take it all off, man. Just get it. Hairs. Oh, God, that! Oh, Jesus. I wouldn't put that thing on my face. Get leprosy. What I'll do is I'll cut my wrist. Oh, shit! That hurt! No way, man. You cut your wrist. The veins just close up. This chick once cut her wrist 8 times. It's got to be a habit. Now you gotta get in the tub, sir. And you gotta shove it in there, you gotta pop the artery. And just, well, that's hot. God. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Hey, look at run, man. Wow. Hey, that's warm. Oh, it feels sexy. Oh. What am I doing?
On that upbeat note, I did toy with playing that one first, so I probably should have done that. But does anyone have any? Oh, also, I should have said as well, the hallucination segment in that was actually added in 1976 when Dan O'Bannon was working on Star Wars. He was in charge with some of the creating a lot of the space sort of characters in the first Star Wars, which was uncredited, so yeah. And then he was like, oh, I think I want to add some stuff to my, yeah, I don't know, why to Bloodbath, so yeah. So otherwise the original is just 7 minutes. Does anyone have any questions or anything? Yeah.
Do we know what rates they got
for? No, I don't know. Yeah, no, I'm not sure. And the weird thing is as well, most of them actually dropped out and didn't finish. They actually went on to, like, Dan and John Carpenter worked on Dark Star. So it's said that was a USC production, but they'd actually already quit by that stage. But they still made it there and just used all of the very, very high-tech equipment that USC had, because it's a really expensive and rich school, despite the fact that they have one archivist and the archive is not funded virtually at all, so yeah. Which that's partly why Dino put this together. He was, any funds that he sort of got from it, he put straight back into the archive, and yeah, it's a bit of a real struggle for him. But that's exactly right. And USC own all of the films as well. But then, yeah, you've got these cheeky filmmakers that come and they don't give them back. And, yeah, quite crazy and a bit of a bugbear but for them over there. But, yeah, anyone else? Everyone just want to go to the bar and drink and celebrate International Archives Day? Yeah. So the rest have just been scanned at 2K, and a lot of them, like, that's this has only got the negative, so it doesn't actually have the print copy. It's just what they've been able to scan in, and they've done the best that they can with them. Yeah, so that's sort of, they're hoping to be able to get them all preserved, and yeah, but it's still a work in progress. Well, as I said, sort of looking back on films that haven't been preserved, they can just, there's just a certain deadline where they're just no good for screening or anything anymore. So, yeah, it's time. Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, since the first time that I went, it's unbelievable. The next time when I went last year, just walking in and I'm like, what the hell is all this equipment and stuff that you've got? So he's done really well with just, not that he charges for screenings. There's only been about 4 screenings of this feature film, but just, I guess, getting the word out there and people knowing. So he's gone on to do a lot more projects and then being able to get some more funding and things. And he had, like, how messy his room looked there. There was, like, equipment on equipment on machines when I went last time. It was crazy. And he's got, and he just has UCLA students coming and doing time like once a week, and they come and they digitize things for him, and it's just getting, trying to get things as through as quickly as possible and at the rate that they can or at the quality that they can. But obviously that's still, you've got digitizing, have to move with, yeah, it's still not ideal. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I just have a question. Do you know,
yeah, he's involved in AMIA, AMIA, over there, and he's spoken at a few, like he often speaks it, and he, because there's not actually a lot, there's a lot more hands-on training than what there is here, because there's virtually no hands-on, like, sort of, well, courses. So he runs a course at UCLA and then he does workshops and things, but I think he has sort of, because he goes, he's not within the guide, he doesn't work within the guidelines, so he has like a bit of, and he doesn't mind speaking his mind, so he has a bit of a, like, yeah, against people sort of further up, and yeah, so I think he kind of likes being in his own little world, but yeah, he kind of he sticks it to the man quite a lot. because it actually screened at St Kilda Film Festival. That's the only time that it's gone out of the country, and yeah, it was. I was like, please come. Yeah, but yeah. I'm just talking about the thematic elements in Bloodbath and weather, and that they are quite similar to Clive Barker's work. I would say probably not when they were everything that I've seen from when they were going through USC is quite it's quite. It doesn't really have those sort of visual effects. It's quite, I don't know, sort of more realistic, I guess. So possibly when he went back and did that, the extra work when he was working on Star Wars, I would say, is what probably connects it to Clive Barker's professional work. So that was probably more in the 70s rather than the 60s. Yeah.
Curious. One about...
Okay, so the first one is, I got asked the same thing by Gino when I was over there. He's like, how did this actually even happen? And I'm like, well, actually, so I did a Google search, film archive internships in America, and I got a list, and we figured out that the list obviously came from, because we figured out, they were talking about New York University, NYU, and that they've got this list that people go off, and I was like, actually, I think that might be the one that I looked at. Was it a blue screen? Yeah, it was a blue screen. And so I obviously looked at their list, and I just went down looking at ones that looked interesting. And then, as I said, came across the write-up on him and what he was working on. And I was like, yep, this is the one that I want to... I contacted a couple of others, like the Academy, and I got like positive responses from them as well. But Dino got in first, and I was like, no, I think that's where I want to go. So, and it was the best decision that I could have made. Film archives in Australia, difficult. As I said, with the ABC closing down, their like film area, it's all gone to Sydney. It's a lot of outsourcing. Or like the NFSA, ACME still do quite a lot, but even they outsource as well. So it's a tough time for film archives. Things are being digitized, but obviously you can't digitize everything. And then they have just warehouses full of old stuff, and we do at Channel 9 as well. We've got a lot of the, or all of the film out, but it, for news, it takes too long to get it in and all that sort of thing. So it's difficult. In America, they have a lot more. Like, they actually have, like, the universities have film archives and things, but even that, as I said, you've got one person paid to work there and for a school that's got all of this money, and yeah, it's a tough time. But hopefully that's, and that's why this was sort of, yeah, I love the opportunity of getting to show this, and hopefully it, you know, like, people go, oh yeah, the archive, I should ask them if they've got this or that. Even at ACME, they've got the archive there, and anyone can go in and ask, and they can, if they've got it at the archive on site, it's 10 minutes to bring it up and people can watch, you know, whatever Australian content. It's crazy for free. But, you know, a lot of people don't know about it, so if people aren't going in, then there's less funding, and yeah. So we've all got to go in. Yeah, so the last Tuesday of this month, whatever date that is, we're showing Cube. So, yeah.
Any other questions?
So the films are being digitised, but what's the plan with that at USC? Are they going to be available to the public? So Dino hoped that they would be, but Diane O'Bannon isn't interested in that. She doesn't want anything to do with it. She's happy for the copy to be, so this is the only copy that, and it's got do not copy, and people have asked to see it. I'm like, no, I won't give it to anyone. Yeah, she's just not interested in it being put out. Yeah, so Dino's got a copy on campus and people can ask to screen it or whatever, but it's, yeah, it's a really sort of just in-house thing at this stage. She's just not interested. It's not in a negative way or anything, but she doesn't want any part of it. And then you've got Carpenter doesn't want anyone to see his films, but it still could be shown. But yeah, she just doesn't want to sign off on anything. She's happy for it to be used in any other way, but not for any commercial. Yeah. They do. Yeah. Yes, that's the weird thing, that they actually own all of the student films made, but they wouldn't be allowed to release, yeah, over the release and stuff, yeah. All of these students that have come in and taken their copies and not given it back, yeah.
Thank you.
That was our June Cardi Party featuring Mel Begg. You can follow Mel on Twitter at MelzyBeg. That's at MelsyBeg. We hope you've enjoyed this live recording and would love you to review us on iTunes. It does help other people to find out about CardiCast and lets us know we're on the right track. Keep an ear out for more CardiCasts. Check out our website at newcardigan.org for more events. And remember, folks, JFDI.